Isn't that the most amazing song? Open our eyes in wonder. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to, in certain ways, carry on that theme that God will open up our eyes in wonder at what he has shown to us in his word this morning. That's what I want to follow on that line. We read the passage this morning, which is fantastic, and so let's go straight into it. If you want to get your Bibles, it's important that you have your Bibles with you this morning, because it's we need to look at this amazing passage and how it all fits together around this key passage. On the way to preschool, a doctor noticed that his daughter was playing with his stethoscope, and he felt his heart be warmed, thinking to himself, how wonderful that my daughter wants to carry on in the same way that I'm carrying on in my life as a doctor. And the little girl took the stethoscope and put the parts in her ears. And still the doctor was thinking, how wonderful this is. She's even know how to use the stethoscope. And the little girl picked up the mouse spoon and said, welcome to McDonald's. Can I please take your order? Stories. We love stories, don't we? They're a key part, both our personal lives and our national lives. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at three stories, and then a little bit further on, we're going to look at three biblical stories, three biblical narratives, as they're often called, which we need to replay in our own minds in order that we can have confidence in our faith. And for me, confidence is relying on those truths of God for ourselves, that we can take hold of those truths and have them in our lives and take hold of them. When I'm with patients, I work in a hospital during the week as a chaplain, and one of my roles is to speak with patients and listen to their stories being told to me, and I draw out from their stories those times when they have found resilience and strength and hope, and pick up on those stories and say, you know, during this time, you turn to those resources and get confident that you can get through this as well. And then I can input scripture into that and pray with them and hope that that will help them in their healing process. And we do it at a national level as well, don't we? On November the 11th, we always replay the stories of the war, World War I and World War II, and how we as a nation came together during those tough times in order to be victorious and to build a new nation after that. We also remember Trafalgar and Waterloo, all these stories from our history that we hang on to. And in this story, this story is so important for biblical Israel, because it's in the book of Isaiah, which normally is a prophetic, poetic book, and there's lots of beautiful images in poetry and prophecy, which fill our minds with lots of pictures absolutely grab our mind's eye and our imagination with the images that Isaiah gives us, in order that they play on our minds in tough times and we can take hold of those. And then suddenly in the middle of Isaiah are three stories, and they sort of jump out as like, why has he suddenly changed genre? Why is he trying to change technique to three stories? But this gives us an honest insight into how God draws out faith and character in us and helps us to put ourselves inside that story and ask ourselves the question, well, how would I have dealt with that? What would I have done? What would have been my response to that? And in that moment, we can see God challenging in comfort, challenging us in our comforts, but also comforting us in our challenges. So he challenges us in our comfort, and he comforts us in our challenges. That's Isaiah. So like every good story, how the story is laid out is so important in helping us to know where Isaiah is trying to guide us, to ask ourselves that question. How am I going to respond to that? And this story is no different. We are looking at one story. We've looked at Isaiah 39. That was read to us. But in fact, it's part of a trilogy of stories. There are three stories in it. And it starts at 36 and 37. So what I want to do is imagine that this area here is a bookshelf. All right? And story one is here. This is the first story. Chapters 36 and 37 of Isaiah. And that's an important story because it shines Hezekiah, who's the king of Judah at the time, it shines him in the best light. It shows him at his best. The armies of Assyria are storming across the Mediterranean and they're destroying everything in its wake. They're destroying everything. It's very interesting. If you just have a look at the name of Merodach-Baladan, Merodach-Baladan actually means destruction. Destruction. And that's important in a few moments when we come to this story. But during this story, it's a different army that are charging across the Mediterranean at this time and in the northern part of the Mediterranean. They're destroying everything. The king of Assyria has sent his commander and he's surrounded Jerusalem. It's a moment of critical danger for the people of Israel. And Hezekiah rises to triumph in faith and resilience. But during this story is a very important question. And it actually comes from the commander of the enemy, the commander of the Assyria. And it asks this golden question, on who are you depending? On whom are you depending? It's a question that the book of Isaiah raises lots and lots of times. And it forces us to ponder, okay, who am I depending? And it's an important question because who we depend our lives on is the character of our lives that is revealed. Who do we depend on shows our character from the inside. This is an important time. In 2024, at the start of 2024, I read an article from the Evangelical Alliance. And they described 2024 as a year of chaos. A combination of wars in Ukraine and Gaza, national elections in the USA and the UK, with the potential that the president of the US was already on trial. And then we look at our world economic situation and our world ecological situation, and the world is an uncertain place. On whom are you depending is an important question for the church to grab hold of and shine a light in a world of chaos. We need to be confident in these times as to who we are depending on. And it's interesting that in chapters 36 and 37, it is the enemy that are asking Hezekiah, who are you depending on? Who are you depending on? But that question holds the three stories together. It brings the trilogy together. So chaos and conflict are surrounding Hezekiah. But in this story, in 36, Hezekiah's faith triumphs. He does the right things. He listens to the prophet Isaiah. He takes all that he knows. He goes to the temple. He pleads before God, look after us, save us. And sure enough, God comes in like a storm. He destroys the army of Assyria, and they go packing. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trial. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Hezekiah could have written that psalm. So if 36 and 37 shows Hezekiah at the height of his faith and character, 38 and 39 show, well, where did that character come from? How was he built to face this difficult time? It's a little bit like the BBC Casualty Department. You know BBC Casualty? I love a Saturday evening watching Casualty. As a man who works in the NHS most of the time, you know, I watch Casualty and think, yep, that's probably true. That's probably true. But, you know, in Casualty, you often see the sister at the end of a difficult shift. She's driving home. She's sort of very, very tired. She's driving. It's dark. And suddenly the lights come in the other direction. And she's going, and you're going, okay, there's about to be a disaster. And then the music comes in. Da na 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 na. Right, the music happens, and then at the start of the next one, 24 hours earlier. And this chapter tells what happened. These chapters tell us what led up to this chapter. So that you can see the trilogy working together. So if 36 and 37 shows him as a triumph, 38 and 39 is important as well, because 38... I love chapters 38 because chapter 38 talks about Hezekiah desperately ill. And God heals him. Again, Hezekiah does exactly the right thing. He turns to God, he prays to him, says, God, you've got to help me in this situation. I'm going to die. Who is going to lead these people? And once again, Isaiah comes in. Isaiah's been in this situation, speaks to this situation. Isaiah speaks in this situation. Isaiah, you're going to get better. And don't worry, not only are you going to get better, but I'm going to save the city as well. So you can see that this chapter must come before this chapter. So here we are. Again, Hezekiah doing the right thing. And you go, wow, this is incredible. Hezekiah, you are such a great king. And that's what we're meant to see. Hezekiah at the height of his character. It's one of those moments when you go, yes, this is the faith that I want to have. So we can be assured as we look at these three chapters that God is working wonderfully. In chapters 36 and 37, God protects the city. In 38, God provides healing for Hezekiah. In 39, in verses 2, let's read that. It says here, Hezekiah received the envoys gladly and showed them what was in his storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spice, the fine oil, his entire armory, everything found among his treasuries. There was nothing in his palace that the king of all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show him. In this chapter, we see all that God has provided for Hezekiah. Isn't that amazing? That's what we're meant to be seeing. God, you have given so much to Hezekiah. Protection, provision of health, and then provision of resources in such difficult times. This assures us that we can be confident in a God who is a giving God. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. Henry Blackaby was a pastor in Canada, and he wrote a wonderful book called Experiencing God. And while being a pastor of a big church in Canada and writing this big book, his wonderful daughter Carrie got cancer. Everything was going well, and suddenly there's a turbulent moment. And he wrote this, I made this decision long before this experience with Carrie. I had made a determination. No matter what circumstances happen in my life, I would never look at any situation except against the backdrop of God's love shown in the cross. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forever convinced me that he loves me. That's what these chapters are saying. God is here to love us. He has provided all of this for us. 36, 37, 38, and 39, God has provided. Now, I know something. You are feeling left out, aren't you? You're finished. You wanted to be a chapter as well. If this is 36, 37, this is 38, 39, you're saying, well, hang on, what chapter are we? Well, your crucial chapters, your chapter 35 and your chapter's 40. Now, if you go to Keith Jones' bookshop, if you go to Keith Jones' bookshop, if there are verses written on paperweights and written on little bookmarks, you will find them from 35 and 40. They are the most beautiful chapters because they talk not only about God restoring Hezekiah and restoring Israel, but restoring all the nations. Can you see the big panorama? That is what these chapters are giving us. God has provided so much for us. We can be confident in God's character to give, even in the difficult circumstances. So chapter 39 asks us this question: can I be confident in my character? Do you know the sadness of chapter 39? Hezekiah blows it. Always fills my heart with sadness when I read that. When I've been preparing, I thought, Hezekiah, why did you blow it? Merodach Baladan means destruction. It means destroy, death. Babylon was always seen in the Bible as the place of destruction, the place of death. It always stands in contrast to what God is wanting to do. It's the big no, don't go there. Don't have anything to do with Babylon. It refers to death. When we have a God that gives us so much life, why would you turn to Babylon? So when Babylon turns up on the doorstep and flatters Hezekiah with letters and gifts, do you see a snake? Does it take you back to the Garden of Eden? God has given you so much. Why not take this? What does Hezekiah do? I'll have a bit of that. I'll follow Babylon. That's the nice, easy option. But to go towards death, destruction, it's written in the first words. Why go there, Hezekiah? And Isaiah comes to him and says, why did you do that? Now give Hezekiah his due. He doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. He doesn't say, oh, I didn't do it. He goes the other extreme. He says, of course I did it. His ego goes to the full extent. Yeah, I showed him everything. Everything is so good. And Isaiah gives him this prophecy. Hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, and some of your descendants on your own flesh and blood who will be born to you will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. It's mentioned again. And isn't it interesting what Hezekiah does? He says, great, it won't happen to me. It'll happen to them, but it won't happen to me. I'm all right. This king who is held up in such honor, in this place, in this chapter, and this chapter, he blows it in this chapter. You know, it is often at the point of choice that our character is most revealed. When we have to make a choice, that's when character is revealed. And that's what these chapters are saying. You have a choice. Look at what God has provided. Are you going to choose Babylon or are you going to choose God? Life or death? Do you know what bothers me? I would have done exactly what Hezekiah did. in the place of choice, I would have chosen what Hezekiah chose. And that bothers me. Can I be confident in my character? As I look back on my life, I've made the wrong choices on many occasions. And that's what we're meant to, that's what we're meant to realize in chapter 39. That's exactly what we're meant to realize. That Isaiah is saying to us, look, God has done all this, but even King Hezekiah messes up. Even a king with such a good reputation. So let's not forget chapters 35 and chapters 40. Because those are the chapters of restoration, not only of Israel, not only of Hezekiah, but of everything. The point of those chapters is to point us to the cross. Because in a few verses later, we are told about a king who comes and brings it all together. You see, if I would ask you to imagine that this is my life on this CD. This is my life. This is all of the times I have messed up. I'm now 60 years old. If I mess up 3 times a day, that works out at 60,000 things wrong with my life. That's where my character has gone wrong that many times. Can I be confident in my character? But it says in Isaiah 53, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has followed his own way. This is Jesus. This is my character. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Now, Jesus is surrounding my character. Wherever that Bible goes, I go. And when God looks at me from heaven, he sees Jesus. And he says, you are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Paul says, we can be holy and blameless in his sight. Isn't that wonderful? We can be confident of the character of Jesus in us because we are in Christ. This Bible can go here, can go there. We are with Christ. We can be confident in our character. So even when we say, I'm rubbish, there is nothing good in me, that is not what God is saying. You are precious and honored in his sight. We can be confident of our character because that is what God is saying about you. There is a great thing that Hezekiah shows us in 36 and 37 and 38. He prays. He prays. He keeps saying, Lord, I've got to, when he does it right, he prays. So let's pray together now. I just want you to imagine that you are standing before Jesus. And if you are thinking in your mind, I am rubbish, I mess up, I would do just like Hezekiah, I would mess up. At the point of choice, I would choose wrong. Imagine you enveloped in him. You are holy. You are blameless in my sight. And I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. You are precious and honored in my sight. As Clive brought that word, open up your heart to that reality. it is true. It is true. To open up your heart, receive that truth into our hearts, that we are in Christ. Therefore, we can be confident in his character.